Hi, this is Farah Hürdüzü from New York City for Jerry Pippin Radio Show. And today I have one of my very special guests, Maximilian Lafayette. Hi, Maximilian. Thank you very much for accepting this interview.
I'm delighted you're here. Delighted.
Thanks. Maximilian, this is our first face-to-face meeting with you in New York City. But as many people, I met you over Facebook in the last 2 months. Until I met you over Facebook, I really didn't know about your books. But obviously, you wrote more than how many books?
250.
And they're about?
Theater, music, languages, Anunnaki. Universes, parapsychology, you name it.
And on your Facebook profile, it says author, columnist, critic, historian, and linguistic. So talking about languages, how many languages do you speak?
Plenty, but badly for all of them. Something maybe 20, 22, 23 languages.
How did you learn?
Oh dear. You know, in college, example, or in school, you can learn up to 3 languages, 4 languages. If you are in French school, the old-fashioned way, you learn Latin, mm-hmm. Greek, and you learn French. And they start to teach recently English. So already 4 languages there. Now, if you visit 2-3 more countries in Europe, they are close, nearby, like Italy. Our border, you learn Italian just by talking to people. Mm-hmm. You go to Spain, you learn Spanish. So already there, you have 4-6 languages in no time.
But what about the ancient languages?
Now, if you start to be interested by culture of the past, then you start to research organization, because you can't find it in colleges. They are very, very rare. Example, the biggest universities in the world, in America, for example, just to give a course in Aramaic or in Assyrian, they have to raise hell. They have to have national campaign to get grant to pay the faculty to develop the curriculum. This will not help. You have to go to old-fashioned rabbis, sheikh, ulema, Assyriologists, research from the past, and you will learn old language under his wings. You walk in his shadow and you learn from him. And usually those people in the past, when they spoke Arabic, they spoke Turkish, they spoke Farsi, they spoke Greek, they spoke Latin. They were really the ulama, the allama, the people of wisdom and knowledge and culture and tradition and science, alchemy, metaphysics. So I learned from them.
And so, talking about Anunnaki, what is Anunnaki exactly?
Oh, my dear Farah, unfortunately, in America, almost 95% of the lovely people who read about the Anunnaki, they don't know what the wording Anunnaki means. Why? Very simple. They don't know where it came from, how it was written, what language. They say Sumerian. Untrue. Show you that they don't know. Akkadian. That's a big mistake. They say, oh, Sumerian. It's a mistake. Akkadian. The epic of Gilgamesh, the epic of the creation, the epic of Ishtar, the epic of the great flood were written on clay tablet, cuneiform, in Akkadian. In the Akkadian epics, you will find 4 references to the Anunnaki. If you want to define the word Anunnaki, you don't go to a book written in America, in English, and tells you what Anunnaki is. You go to the source, because it's Akkadian. In the Akkadian language, Anunnaki means the following, and nothing else but this. It is composed of three parts. Anu, which means king, the head, the leader, the father, etc. The head. Then there is Na, ki. Sometimes we refer to Na as part of Ina. It is the same in Assyrian, in Hittite, in Chaldean, in Sumerian. It means from within. Sometimes it is used as an adverb, means under. The last part, it's ki. Ki has probably 16 different meanings in seven Semitic languages. But the three most important are the following. Planet Earth. Ki means life after death. The underworld. Mm-hmm. Because there is a big epic, Kurnugi, very famous, about the descent of Ishtar to the underworld. They call it Kurnugi. The third one, it is a source of energy. Mm-hmm. And there is another one, they don't use it quite often. It derives from Kur, K-U-R, which means neighborhood, a city, a district. So what we have here so far? We have the word underworld, we have the word earth, we have the word from within, and we have the word of the head, the king, the ruler. Mm-hmm. Any person with a brain, with some cosmetic appeal toward linguistic interpretation, will find out there is no reference whatsoever to people coming from another star. But we can find two definitions. The people who are led by a king and lived in the underworld, or the follower of a king who lived on earth.
So why most of the scholars or writers insist on the idea that Anunnaki came from the sky?
No. There is one person, we'll not mention his name because we love him and we respect him and he's a pioneer, but he has been hammered by every single professor of who teaches Assyrian or Hittite or Aramaic or Chaldean or Nabataean or Aramaic or Hebrew or Arabic. They nailed him. They said, just to let you know how he does know nothing about the Akkadian language, it does not mean people came from heaven. It means simply the Lord, the gods of the underworld. And also there is some jurisprudence in the interpretation. Sometimes they call them the kings of the higher level, in comparison with their counterpart, the Igigi, who are called the kings or god of the lower class. There is no reference. Per se, the word, per se, Anunnaki, has nothing to do, by definition, with people came from outer space. However, this great author was right when he said that they came from another star, because in the epic written on clay tablet, they said they came from Nibiru. That's a fact.
So what is Nibiru?
Nibiru, it is a star system. It's a planet.
Okay.
And the correct pronunciation is not Nibiru. Mm-hmm. Nibiru. And but in some passages of other epic, especially in the Phoenician cosmogony, and in some epic of the gods of Ashuria, thirsting for immortality, Nibiru was never used. It was the word Ashtari. Ashtari were used. It's a planet, but not in our solar system, where, allegedly, the Anunnaki came from and lived. And I believe that. So, defining the Anunnaki as such is wrong, but interpreting them is correct.
Okay, then. Do you believe the idea that human race was created by Anunnaki?
Yes. Well, I can't say 100% as a man of science or a man from academia, but if we go to the source, where did you hear about the Anunnaki first? What did he do? We go to the epic of the creation of the universe and the creation of man. Example, when you read about the Anunnaki goddess Aruru, or the Anunnaki god Ea, or Elil, or Enlil, they tell you, they described in the epic how they created the human being. There were many, many, many techniques and many experiments. One of them is the following. They took the blood of one of the lower god belonging to the Igiji, and they mixed it with clay, which was very abundant in Iraq. And they put it in a container, a tube, called chimiti, C-H-I-M-I-T-I. It's a tube. And they waited a couple of days, and this chimiti produced the first human being.
How did you get the original, authentic information about Anunnaki?
Well, this happened 50, 60 years ago. And maybe much earlier than that. I was introduced to a lovely person, a master, a Chinese master, Honorable Master Li. And he took me under his wings and took me to Kowloon, Hong Kong, Okinawa, Ryukyu, Japan, Middle East, Malaysia, Turkey, Beirut, Iraq. And he introduced me to Dr. Tayara, to Sheikh Mutawali, to Rabbi Mordechai, to Grandmaster Berkov. They belong to a group of ulema, people of knowledge and culture.
Okay, when you say ulema, I'm very familiar with this word because we have the same word as ulema in Turkish. But for other languages, it can be a little bit unfamiliar. How would you translate ulema into English?
Ulema derived from the word ulm. Ulm. It means knowledge, culture, wisdom, and science. And ulema is a man of culture, knowledge, science, intelligence, tradition, and also he has something that the West they don't have. On the top of that, they have the firasa. The firasa is an old Anunnaki word which you can find in Farsi and in Arabic. Mm-hmm. Firasa, it means to see and understand things just by looking at them. Mm-hmm. The ulema are the people of knowledge. The early time of Islam, the high class of highly educated people, the pioneer, were called ulema. They took the word from the pre-Islamic word ulema, which existed before 645, mm-hmm. before Islam came to life in the Arab Peninsula. So the word ulema, it is an Arabic, pre-Islamic, quasi-Judaic Christian word. Then it was changed later to the word allama, which specifically means people of science and culture in the service of al-Caliph, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the head of the Islamic religion.
How many ulama exists today in our world?
The Anunnaki ulama, they are very few. Probably maybe 200 people. But they are very different from the ulama of other religions. They don't deal with Islam or with Christianity or with Buddhism. They don't deal with religion. They deal with the Anunnaki wisdom and truth as written in the book of Ramadosh.
You recently started to publish an online magazine, and it will be a monthly magazine, right?
Yeah, it's a hard copy magazine called Ethology and Anunnaki Magazine.
And you have excellent articles that your own, and also there are other writers that's participating into this magazine. And there is one more interesting thing, Anunnaki mind techniques.
Yeah.
How do we get them? What is the source?
Well, the Anunnaki believe, and the Ulema believe, that everything starts in the mind. Now, according to a secret teaching of the Ulema, in our brain there is a cell, C-E-L, in the brain called conduit. This cell has not yet been discovered by science, like the DNA was not discovered until 25 years ago. Before that, nobody knew. In the future, I predict, put it on record, medicine will discover this cell. This cell is called the conduit, which contains all the knowledge in the world, all the knowledge in the past, all the knowledge in the future, because past, present, and future coexist on the landscape of the universe. It just depends on how fast you receive it or how late you receive it. It's like going to a movie theater. You can see the movie from the very end, or you can see it from the very beginning. It's a matter of time. It does exist in the can, the movie, but has not yet been projected on the screen. Your conduit is the screen, and it's directly linked to the Anunnaki at the time they created us. When they created us in their tube, according to the epic, they decided how much intelligence, how much luck, I say luck, how much power you're going to have in your life. The closest you are to your conduit, if you can activate your conduit, you can acquire enormous power, beautiful power. But if you don't open your conduit, you'll be normal, like you and me, like many people there, but you will not accomplish remarkable deed. Some of those deeds are called Kiramat. Since you are from Turkey, in the old Osmani, the word Kiramat exists. It also exists in Persian and in Arabic. Kiramat means noble deeds, intelligent deeds, spiritual deeds that allow you to accomplish non-physical tasks, which are called by human on earth as miracle. In fact, they are not miracle. It's just synchronizing your intention with your conduit. You talk to your conduit. Mm-hmm. Example, in my book, the Book of Ramadosh, I explain about 13 mind power techniques.
Yes, some of them are in the magazine as well.
Yeah, 100% they are mental. Now, it doesn't mean that you are fantasizing in your brain. You are projecting idea, or it's just hallucination or holographic projection. Absolutely not. You can do it physically. Example, I explain in 62 steps, one by one, why you have to limit yourself to 24 hours a day. Who told you that the day consists of 24 hours? Why some people can produce so much in one day, other can't? If you talk to anthropologists or psychologists or psychiatrists, they will give you all this blah 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 scientific jargon. Don't believe anything they say. Go to the source. Go at the time when a person who never attended a college could speak Greek, Latin, French, Spanish, Aramaic, Hebrew, who was fluent in alchemy, in astrology, in astronomy, in sailing the high seas, reading the skies. How did he learn all this? How did she learn all this? Mind power. Mind power. It's true, you learn from schools, from books, but also you learn from a teacher. You have to have a teacher, muallim, ustaz, ustaz hanum. You have to have a guide who can put you on the path of knowledge.
So, you explained how Anunnaki created the human race and how they designed human race's mind power or DNA. So the question is, who created Anunnaki?
Good. Now, before I answer this question, would you be interested to know how many races they created?
Oh, definitely. And I'm very much interested in if we are, I mean, the Earth race, we are the only race which was created by Anunnaki, or did they create other races in other parts of the galaxy?
Yeah. Up to 50 or 60 years ago, everybody in academia, in science, believed that we had three species, Erectus, Sapiens, Neanderthal. Recently, 3 years ago, science officially admitted the existence of 36 different species. This is science. Some years ago, anthropologists and archaeologists and forensic anthropologists found the skeleton of a person. They called this person Lucy, very famous skeleton in Africa. They said it's 200,000 years old, 300,000 years old. And that's it. They said that's the beginning of the existence of human on Earth. Everybody believed it. And from that, they developed very famous anthropological theory, the out of Africa origin of man. Out of Africa is very famous theory in anthropology. It means that all of us came from Africa. This is false. I'll give you reason. Many people ask me, Lafayette, give us proof, give us picture, give us photo. I'm going to give you the most perplex and explosive document that you can find in colleges today on the internet. I'm talking about ETA. ETA, I-T-A. Dr. Stein and a group of German anthropologists with people from Rochester University and University of Berlin and Bonn and in Sweden, they discover for the first time in history a complete fossils of a human being looking like a reptile as old as 60 million years ago. You can see it. You can go on the internet and research it. And ETA, the German archaeologist who discovered the fossils, named ETA after his daughter, ETA, a German name. Human being with a tail.
So reptilians were real?
The reptilian, we came, some of the races, not all of us, came from reptilian. People listening to that, to this story today, to our interview, they're going to laugh. Let them laugh as much, as strong as they want. If they go to the recent Journal of Anthropology, certified by every single major academy of science and history, they tell you, yes, we discovered the fossil of ETA, which is 60 to 64 million years old, intact, everything, human being with a tail, very long tail, as big as the body.
So it was human one creation. Of the creations of the Anunnaki?
Now, they never said that.
No, according to your...
According to my point of view, yes. because the Anunnaki created 47 different kinds of human races. Some of them walked on three legs. How do I say that? And can I jeopardize my name and credibility by saying that? I'm not saying that. I am referring you to the epic of the Anunnaki, to the Akkadian epic written thousands of years ago, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, on the clay tablet. They described when Ea and other Anunnaki gods created human beings. They look awful, bestial. The very first species that one of the Anunnaki gods created was urinating on himself. He was drunk. He could not stand up. This is written in Akkadian. Go to the epic and read it. Then Aruru came, the woman came, worked days and night with seven Anunnaki goddesses, women, to create kind of respectably looking human being. So yes, human beings on earth were created, I'm not going to offend any religion, by God, I say by woman from Anunnaki. Man was created by a woman. And woman did not come from the rib of a man.
So, is it possible to say that? Is it possible to say that Anunnaki created the human race in their own image?
Yes.
Now, do they look like us, or do we like them? Do we look like them?
That's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. This is why the Anunnaki are the only alien extraterrestrial race that they look like human.
So what we call Nordics today?
No, the Anunnaki, they look like those beautiful people from the old time of Syria, Turkey, Armenia, Phoenicia. Beautiful black eyes, big black eyes, tall, or red hair, or black hair, and fair skin.
And again, who created Anunnaki?
According to the book of Ramadosh, they said the Anunnaki were created by a particle. Now, this did appear very strange to many people in the West, until 5 years ago, when the West, through the media, discovered there is a secret project underground in Geneva called CERN. Search it on the... I knew about it a long time ago. Now they start to release it. What they are doing? First, they gathered the best 9,700 scientists of all over the world.
Yes, there are Turkish scientists in that project as well.
You know what they are working on? They are working on a particle called the God particle. Well, this word, God particle, Nifsa Eli, appeared 16,000 years ago and was recorded 5,000 years ago in the Anunnaki book of Ramadosh. Nifsa Eli. Nifsa is like nefesh in Hebrew and Aramaic and Arabic. Even in Turkish.
Yes, nefes we say.
Nefes. It's the same thing. It means the soul, the spirit, the life. It's an Anunnaki word. Eli, Ilya. It's the same in Arabic, Allah. The same Allah and Eli in Aramaic. When Jesus on the cross said, Eli, Eli, lama shabakhtani. God, God, why you have forsaken me? Anunnaki word. Mean. Anunnaki word. So, Anunnaki were created by a particle which is similar to certain principle in Shinto and in and Tantric Buddhism. They call it the state of Kara, K-A-R-A. The emptiness or the nothingness. Nothing can create something. Two negative produce one positive. It was created by what we call, let's say today, God, Creator. Call him whatever you want. His name was Anu, Eli, Yao, Anu Eliyahu. Now, we explained Anu before, we explained Eli, what it means, and Yao, Y-A-W. How do you explain Yao? Well, if you go to Talmudic studies and Proto-Hebrew, if you go to Ugaritic language, Ugaritic in Amrit, in Syria, in Arwad, in the cosmogony of Melkart, you will find out that Yao, Y-A-U, it's the original name of the Jewish God, Yahweh. So Yahweh, the name of the Jewish God, came from Yao, Y-A-W, from the Phoenician Ugaritic. And the Phoenician Ugaritic name of Yao, pronounced H or L, came from the Anunnaki word. So you see, all religion are connected and came from the Anunnaki. This is how we proved that the Anunnaki created religion and the concept of religion and the priesthood caste on earth. All that created by Eli, the name of the God, the creator of the universe.